It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against UCLA in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Am I yelling, Scott? Does it sound like I'm yelling?
I can't hear you.
Huh? Welcome back. It's 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. You don't have to yell in the microphone these days. So I've been told.
I have a complaint. I just saw something that's just so ridiculous.
I love these.
So over all of this stuff. So tired of it.
Without knowing, I feel like this is going to be a first world problem, but go ahead.
No.
Oh, no, there's a real problem.
Well, I don't know. It's about your BYU Cougars. I was just looking at the ticker at the bottom of ESPN here, mm-hmm. and it's like Notre Dame plays BYU. 16th ranked BYU and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
There's no number in front of Notre Dame.
Right, but it's Notre Dame, Scott.
And guess who's favored?
I get it.
Notre Dame, 6.5-point favorite.
That's a lot, actually.
On the road in the desert against the 16th ranked team in the country. Come on. Who does this stuff?
Scott,
give
Jeremy.
Me a freaking break about Notre Dame. Come on. I'm so tired.
What's the line now?
It's dropped to 3.5.
Shoot.
What? Just
Jeremy,
since
you
I started,
gotta call me.
Since
you're
I started
game,
talking the on the phone?
Since you started talking on the air? The line went down as soon as you mentioned
it.
As soon as I
mentioned it.
Do you want text first I see this? What do you want
You
here?
Better. You're the degenerate gambler. You got to give me a heads up on this crap.
Why would you
you
bet on that?
Yeah, what are you going to do with this?
6.5?
What are you going to do?
Don't you have multiple guys you can call? Or gals? There's always somebody.
There's somebody out there typically.
Do you have different states you go to? Where do these people live?
Can't get that information out.
Oh, see? I knew it.
Alex.
The line opened at 6.5. You didn't call me? I'm pissed.
No one on the radio listen right now. I got to talk to Alex. So everyone just turn your radios off.
Between you and me.
Alex, this is Utah.
Okay. I know you can't, but I'm just wondering where.
You can't even really even talk about it.
I just want to worry. So Scott, you know what's hilarious about the gambling in sports?
Don't talk about it.
Think about it.
Let's go to Wendover. We'll talk about it there.
You have to. They can't even go over that. That's what's crazy is think about how far gambling has come. Like, it's the people talk about it immediately. Most of the ads that run on the weekend, they deal with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Beer commercials, car insurance commercials. Or, hey, if you think you might have a problem with gambling, Caesar Sportsbook has got a real program that'll help you out. You could turn your app off for up to 2 days so you don't make a dumb bet. You're like, what?
Turn it off.
You can turn it off
for up to 2 days.
It is seriously like the weirdest thing because it's like, hey, we want you to gamble responsibly, but not too responsibly. You know, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? It's wild how far we've come with it. But I'm on board with you. And yet,
I just look at it not from like, oh, gambling. I look at it from
just a football perspective. Well,
so that means they really like Notre Dame in this game. Like, wow.
Notre Dame will get a bump. Notre Dame is one of those teams that will just get a bump. And I'll tell you, too, BYU fans, they have there's a lot of a feeling of Notre Dame always being big brother here. Because I think this is the ninth game in the series that they've played. So I want to see what BYU-Notre Dame are as a series. And I'll tell you where we're at here.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, so now this will be the... Yeah, it looks like this will be the... No, this says it's only going to be the seventh time that they've played. Okay? And Notre Dame is 4-2 against BYU. BYU hasn't won a... They haven't won a game since 94 against the Fighting Irish. Okay?
Okay.
And when you look at this... No, sorry, 2004. I forgot Gary Croton beat Ty Willingham. Gosh darn it. We forgot about that one.
That's one of the only ones he had.
No, and not just that. Like I was at BYU during that time. Yeah. Very forgettable moment, I guess. But here's the thing is that BYU has – there is a definite – and you correct me if I'm wrong, BYU fan. You tell me. But there is a feeling to that you have to perform against Notre Dame because of the historical side of it. Everybody who plays Notre Dame goes through that, where they go, it's Notre Dame. The four horsemen of the football apocalypse, you know, yeah. You think of Newt Rockne, you think of Rudy, all those things. All that stuff, just the historical side of it.
I don't think of Rudy when I think of Notre Dame.
I know, because you have, like, what's his name? Joe Montana told you about how fake it was, and then you would try to tell everybody. And I get it. Let me just live my life in the movies, Rudy. Please.
That's fine.
So, but Notre Dame is another thing. There's an added layer if you're a BYU fan, and that is, hey, we're independent, too. Hey, we're a religious institution, too. Hey, we're trying to find respect just like you. And there's this feeling of that's the big independent program. And BYU's going to the Big 12.
Notre Dame's really the only independent program.
I know.
It
and
really
that's the
is.
Feeling that BYU fans have. They know that that's the feeling, yeah. too. That they are relegated to, yeah, but Notre Dame plays on a different level. Notre Dame has – they have rules changed for them. All of these rules.
You know,
when to play the game, where to play the game. Notre Dame has been all – they've gerrymandered the crap out of this game, and it is such bull crap. And that's why BYU fans and that's why BYU gets a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about Notre Dame because they do whatever they want, and everybody just goes, okay. And Notre Dame wins two or three games, and they go, well, let's rank them in the top 25 again.
Okay, Notre Dame. I got a question for you.
Yep.
This is a good question. Hmm? This is a really good question.
You can't come out of the gate and say, I came up with a great question.
Of course I can.
Okay. Because
it's a really good question.
Let me hear it.
Would BYU be better off today had they gone into a conference and not gone independent?
Better off today, what? Like, would they have gotten the Big 12 invite in any way?
Well, like, let's just take what would you have enjoyed the last whatever years that they've been in independence.
That's hard to go
had
back.
Had they gone and maybe what if they went undefeated two or three times like a Boise State? And what if they went and there's all this discussion about – because if they were in a conference and they had that kind of schedule and this independence or this conference realignment thing showed up again, everyone go, well, look at the one program. Because people talk about Cincinnati. They go, well, Cincinnati or UCF – those two programs, they were kind of the bull buster programs because they stayed in a lesser conference.
Hard to know. I mean, it's hard to go back and guess how they would have done again. You know, in the 11 years of having schedules like
they would have had to have. They would have had to have gone undefeated two or three times with a non Power Five heavy conference schedule.
Here's the thing: is that I think that
I guess would you have enjoyed it better? Would you go? Oh, what, we won our conference championship. We get to go to the Potato Bowl. Wait, stop. What is the Mountain West Conference champion go to?
Somehow.
Kimmel Bowl.
Well, now they go to the Kimmel Bowl. But it used to be the Vegas Bowl, too. Vegas Bowl was big Mountain West. Which BYU was already playing in all the time anyway.
My question, and I mean this in all seriousness, would they have been better?
There's a little bit of a slight in your voice,
No,
too.
There was not. Is this a serious question? Would they have been better off? It's great where they ended up. They probably would have ended up in the same place. And would it have been better? Because there was a lot of years when independence for BYU sucked. It was bad.
I remember. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how much I would have enjoyed. And I think that there are enough times in independence that BYU has been on a radar that they wouldn't have been on in the Mountain West. I do. And so they're really difficult Power 5 schedule at the front end of their independence that Tom Holmoe did a masterful job with. It's hard to guess and see where I don't know what year you think BYU would have gone undefeated in the Mountain West. I don't know. Like maybe
a lot.
No, they wouldn't have.
Of course, they would have.
Scott, you're saying that at the same time that they're playing that they already play Boise State most of those years anyway, and a lot of them they were losing to them.
Well, it's because they were beat up because they played all those Power Five schools. Sure.
See, that's what I'm
had
saying.
Had they is not that, been so beat up, they would have.
Hypothetical.
But could you imagine a real Boise State BYU rivalry to win a conference championship? Would that not be more exciting? Than,
I'll just tell you right now.
We're playing Liberty and we're playing UMass and we're playing blah, 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 blah.
You know what scares me is that BYU is going to go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and they'll have made all this progress and then they lose to Liberty.
Right, and who wants that? That's independence.
Against is Charlie Brewer still a guy? No, he broke his hand, right? Oh. So, but no, independence, Scott, I don't know what year you would think that they would have run the table. And I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have. And I know it was a COVID year, but I would take that 10-2 season that Zach Wilson had over a Mountain West Conference Championship. Mountain West Conference Championship. Not an undefeated season, because I still – you can't go, well, they probably would have gone undefeated.
They probably would have gone undefeated in that year if they'd have been in the Mountain West.
I can't remember. Was the Mountain West even playing games back then? Or they were – yeah, they were playing games, but it still wasn't very good. That's a hard game to play. It's a little bit of a dumb game to play. You can make up a lot of hypotheticals on that thing, but I'm telling you.
I think it's a good poll question.
Yeah.
Would BYU be better?
BYU be better?
In a conference than independence. Would it have been better for him?
No. I think independence worked out great. Tom Holmoe, and you know what? It turned a corner for COVID. Honestly, we were all looking at that game that year, and we were going, ugh. Tom Holmoe, you need to do a little bit of a better job with A, B, and C, you know, when it comes to these things. And, you know, scheduling teams, et cetera. And then that year, that basically single-handedly got him into the Big 12, I feel like. That and Texas and Oklahoma leaving. Which one had a bigger effect? That BYU was on the map after a couple of years of really, really good showings in the independents, or just Texas and Oklahoma left and so you get desperate? It's the latter, for sure.
It is.
Scott, don't do these things to BYU fans who are listening, because they'll go off and go, no, 2009, we would have been amazing, dude. We would have won the...
I think of 2009.
No, 2009, I think they were in the Mountain West still. No, but it'd be like, there are a couple seasons in there that Bronco Mendenhall won double-digit wins, and you're like, maybe they're the bowl busters that year. I got to go back and look. I got to actually dive into that.
I mean, Utah did it in the Mountain West. They went to the Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl.
Thanks for
Boise State
thanks
did
for
it.
Help me out.
UCF did it. Cincinnati did it. Listen, and guess where they are today?
I told you.
They're on the map.
My brother lives in Orlando, and when UCF had that year in 2017 and the legislature voted to like give them a national championship, they had billboards
you
up that said,
stink, and I don't like you.
They had the billboards up though. They had people have the license plate, you know, frame that says 2017 National Champions UCF football. It's amazing. It's real.
They earned it.
It's like Utah, what was it, a year and a half ago that were given some fake national championship by a fake? What was it? Yeah, but what was the group?
It's on an accredited poll. Official poll.
Just like the old guys at McDonald's getting coffee in the morning, they're accredited too. Let them they're giving out national championships now.
NCAA accredited or something like
no,
that.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
By anybody. Okay.
I believe it was Anderson Hester poll.
It's like when the guys roll up and they go.
Oh, it's the Anderson Hester poll. Of
it's
course.
Like when guys roll up. And
of
they
course.
Go, well, I put actually. Yeah, don't be,
it's okay, Jeremy. If you're wrong, it sounds good.
It could be
good.
Backwards. Hester Anderson.
I took some courses at Southern Virginia, and they're like, those don't transfer, buddy. I'm sorry. I played football at Nob. It doesn't transfer.
They're the Phoenix Online national champions.
Oh. All right. We'll take a break. We got more to go here on the program. When we return, here we have our Weekend Warriors, people who won the weekend.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985.
Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.